Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We are not delineating martinis today. We are going to be just sharing our thoughts on a number of fronts about the carnage that occurred yesterday, the horror at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, two different explosions just a few seconds apart. As the time of this recording, three people declared dead, north of 140 injured. There's still about 17 or 18 critical, some 25 in serious condition. So sadly, that death toll could potentially rise. We've seen reports of anywhere from 25 to 30 people losing at least one limb since the blast really seemed to go sideways out of these trash cans and hit people severely in the legs. And so Jim, what turned out was supposed to be a great Patriots Day celebration, a day game for the Red Sox, and of course the great tradition of the Boston Marathon. A little more than 4 hours after the start of the marathon, some 17,000 runners had already finished. We get this horrific tragedy that seemed to certainly affect people on the side of the road more than the people in the race. But it's just once again a reminder that even nearly 12 years after 9/11, there are still people who hate us and want to do us harm. We don't know who those people are at this point. There's plenty of speculation with the reports of a certain nationality of a person being held under guard at one of the hospitals, but there's been nothing official said about whether anybody's being charged on that or where the searches are at this point. But the initial reaction, of course, is shock, anger at whoever did this, and of course, tremendous sympathy, concern, and prayers for those affected by this.
Yeah, it's not surprising that in a circumstance like this, one of the more insightful observations came from Charles Krauthammer, who said that for a lot of people, this feels a lot more like 9/11 than I think we may have expected, and that we've had attempted terrorist attacks since 9/11. There was the attempted bombing of that flight over Detroit. There was the Fort Hood shooting. There was the attempted Times Square bombing, and this country got lucky a lot of times. It appears that our luck may have run out in this circumstance. Now, we don't know if this is Al Qaeda. We don't know if this is foreign or domestic. We don't know whether this is a lone person or a person part of a group. It is kind of interesting that we have not heard any claim of responsibility so far. It is perhaps a little bit unusual. We know that Al Qaeda does not have the structure it used to. Bin Laden is dead, and many of his lieutenants have been wrapped up, killed, captured, etc. But as we've seen in subsequent terror attacks, oftentimes you'll get someone who just, like the Fort Hood shooter, just has communications, isn't part of a group and something like that. We're getting conflicting information on the methodology of these bombs. It was very intriguing to hear the doctor at one of the Boston hospitals who just concluded a press conference was talking about the types of shrapnel that they were finding in the wounds of people, apparently nails and just the most horrible things you can imagine. He was asked, was this a result of the bomb, or was this just natural shrapnel generated when it's near a trash can or something like that? The doctor said he thought it was from the bomb. This is not a forensic expert. This is not a person who specializes in these sorts of things. So it's possible that information is not correct, but it is certainly intriguing. Yesterday, we had the very ominous report. I guess it was late last night. The Wall Street Journal was saying that they had found five other devices. That report has now been struck down by the authorities saying no. What they're probably talking about was other suspicious devices that may have been detonated by bomb squads, but they were not actually explosive devices. As far as the authorities can tell, there were only two devices, the two that went off on the marathon course yesterday. Information like that is simultaneously reassuring and unnerving. It's reassuring that there was not a lot of other bombs around there that just failed to go off and all that. However, it means that the bomber, set to and two went off. And so we may or may not be dealing with someone who's more competent than a lot of unsuccessfully detonated devices would suggest. This is an ominous moment, Greg, because we don't know who did this. A few moments ago, the mayor, the governor, the U.S. attorney, and various other law enforcement authorities held a press conference. Really not much information in that at all. And I have great sympathy for the authorities trying to deal with a very complicated situation. But at this point, no word on any suspects. They like at least four or five times they ask the public for any pictures or video they have near the detonation points, near the explosions right beforehand and stuff like that. And the fact that that point was emphasized so much, I don't see that as a good sign, Greg. I think, you know, somebody else had reported earlier today the FBI was starting on a basically cold on this. There were no leads. There were no warnings. There were no signs that this was a Al-Qaeda was up to something, or any, you know, other domestic group or anything like that was up to something. This took everyone by surprise. And this is a marathon course, has quite a bit of security around. Some folks even saying that they'd seen, you know, bomb sniffing dogs running around yesterday. All of this adds up to a very unnerving set of circumstances. We will see whether this is any subsequent attacks for better, thankfully there were nothing after the two detonations yesterday. The fire over at that JFK library was simply a coincidence. And so now we're just kind of all just on alert.
There's a lot of speculation. A lot of people think because that is such a high traffic district, a lot of security cameras in the stores and along the street, that once they comb over that footage, that they'll be able to pinpoint who placed perhaps these devices in these trash cans. But there's a lot of people out there who threw a lot of things away, I'm sure. So even that might not be that easy. The good news, as we always have in these horrible tragedies, are the people that race to the scene to help. The first responders, there were people there just cheering on family members and other people running in the race. There was one gentleman there, I heard the story, that he was there to cheer on the friends of his son who was a fallen service member overseas, and he ended up having to apply direct pressure to a severed artery for someone's lower extremity who was blown off. I mean, that's obviously not why he was there, yet he came and helped in any way he could, and there's, I'm sure, countless stories like that, given the number of horrific injuries that we saw. The first responders, once again, showing why they deserve our tremendous admiration. I think for the most part, I didn't watch much of every single channel. I watched much of Fox and CNN. I thought the coverage was pretty responsible, not a lot of rampant speculation. I know there were a couple out there, including David Axelrod, who threw out ideas like maybe this is tax day related, and that's never something you want to see. I thought for the most part, the president struck the right notes. I wish he had been a little angrier in his statement. I know he's trying to keep everybody calm, but sometimes a little fury is good. But that's about the only bone I'm prepared to pick with him today on that. Hopefully, we do get to the bottom of this this quickly. We've got a lot of resources up there, and hopefully we'll get answers very, very soon, because, you know, you've got so many events like this coming up. You've got the London Marathon coming up, and the folks over there are now pretty concerned about this. And from what you were saying before, it didn't look like Boston in any way was shirking their security duties with the bomb-sniffing dogs and other precautions that they had out there. But as we've heard over and over again since 9/11, the security side's got to be right every time. The terrorists only have to get through once. And so, sadly, sometimes that once occurs, and it did yesterday. So this has certainly cast a pall on any other political news we would have talked about today. But it's good to pause and remember moments like this, what brings us together as Americans and what will hopefully band us together again as we get some answers out of this.
Yeah, it puts everything into perspective. And just one quick note on the security, you know, preparations for an event like this. It was a really, it puts into perspective, somebody had said, what's great about a marathon is that it's a huge sporting event with no doors. You can't secure 26 miles of roadway. You know, you just can't search every square foot of it. You can't have everyone pass through metal detectors, all kinds of things like that. I mean, this is just a kind of standard circumstance that we live in a free society. And I think this is post 9/11, what a lot of people, I think including myself, feared would be that any event with a large crowd would be a natural target. You know, anyone who wanted to take out their anger on society or get their vengeance or whatever their motivation was, that, you know, any big crowd would be a target for that. For 11 years, we've been very lucky, and our luck ran out yesterday. Now, we don't know who did this, and I think, you know, how we respond to this may change very much if this is part of a, you know, large organization, international network like Al-Qaeda, or whether it's some lone wolf who's just deciding to take out his rage upon the world. This is a very frustrating set of circumstances. You mentioned about the coverage yesterday. I feel some sympathy for those who are on television live during events like this, because there's only so much you can say. You're watching the same footage over and over again. The footage was absolutely horrific, as I think everyone's seen. And you mentioned, you know, there's utterly horrible photographs floating around online. I myself get a little uncomfortable when the news networks start replaying the footage over and over and over again, particularly the detonations, where you know, we now know people are dying in that. People are getting maimed as we see that blast. Seeing the footage of people running around in terror, horror, the screamings, the sirens. This is what the perpetrator wanted. He wanted us to feel fear. He wanted us to be feel powerless in the face of his actions. And so hopefully we, you know, express all the appropriate emotions and then shake it off and move on with our lives. You know, that there is work to be done. Life must go on, and we will not cower in our homes because of this, the actions of this one guy. Now, our authorities have to go out and get that guy. And you know, any of his accomplices and anybody else and all of that. But as for now, look, Boston is, you know, the downtown area is still shut down, but Boston awoke this morning, the country woke up this morning, and we will continue because that's what we do as this country, and nobody with a bunch of bombs is going to be able to stop us from doing that.
We certainly want to add to the first responders, the medical personnel who have done incredible work saving lives, in some cases, unfortunately, having to amputate, but saving lives in the process of doing that as well, and just heroic work, victim after victim, pulling bits of shrapnel must be excruciating for them as well as those who are actually afflicted by it. So our hats off to those doing the good work in response to this horrific act of hate and violence in Boston. And I'm with you, Jim. I look forward to, whether it's tomorrow or Thursday or whenever it is, that we get back to the usual martinis. But it's moments like this where we do need to pause, take perspective, and that's why we did what we did today.
Agreed, Craig. So tomorrow must be better.
It must be. So, well, on that note, we'll leave off. And he's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.